This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Allergy season is on its way and you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Save $200 on the 3-Pack. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code Howie3 to order.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Putin's war is already hurting American families at the gas pump. I'm going to do everything I can to minimize Putin's price hike here at home.
Inflation is accelerating. These are pre-war numbers as well. You can see just why so many Americans are so sour on the economy. It's because they're paying more for just about everything.
Your grandmother's on a very fixed income.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I understand the Russians are the favorite talking point for Democrats. We spent 4 years under Trump hearing Democrats say Russia, Russia, Russia. And now the Biden White House wants to say all of the disaster of inflation, that's Russia's fault too.
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia!
Unchained and unstoppable.
You're lying.
You know what? I answered that question. I attended the inauguration of John F. Kennedy. Were any of you alive then? Yeah, I said, Billie Jean King sends you her regards.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
We told you yesterday about a proposed amendment in the Massachusetts House of Representatives that would have suspended the state gas tax, which is 24 cents currently, until the price of gasoline goes down, back down to $3.70 per gallon on average. And, you know, it could have been easily done without any loss of money to the hackerama, because the state has budgeted in this year revenues of less than $800 million. I know that seems like a lot, but less than $800 million. And they're running a surplus with all the funny money that's coming in from Washington of in the billions, somewhere between $3 and $6 billion, depending on who you ask. So it wouldn't have affected anything. But of course, the Democrats went crazy and they called it a gimmick and a stunt and all the usual things. And so it was voted down, but on a voice vote. And my question, and a lot of you texted in and called about this last night, is why the hell didn't the Republicans insist on a voice vote? I mean, so they can at least put the Democrats on record as saying, we don't give a bleep about the motorists of Massachusetts, people who work for a living. We just want the money coming in so we can give it to illegal aliens and the layabouts and the bulgers, et cetera, et cetera. And I was just amazed that they wouldn't do that. And what makes it even worse is that in a voice vote, then if you're asked about it, you can say, if you're talking to the illegal alien community, you can say, I voted to stop that gas tax suspension so you could have more money, amigos. But if you go before people who work for a living, you go and you say, I voted to cut the gas tax. The Republicans threw the Democrats a life preserver. I just can't believe it. It's just crazy what they did. So I called this morning one of the Republicans that I trust in the legislature, Mark Lombardo, Republican of Billerica. I just wanted to have him on to ask what the hell happened yesterday. Representative Lombardo, why was there no roll call vote on the amendment, which I think was a great idea to suspend the gas tax temporarily?
It is a great idea, Howie. It's a no-brainer, and it would be great really for commuters and families throughout Massachusetts. We got the dog and pony show to talk about the damage it would do to the bond rating and the credit bureaus, and you know, every excuse to not give relief to the taxpayers and to the commuters, all of which were nonsense. This is something we absolutely should do. It was very surprising to me, Howie, having been up there for Beacon Hill for long enough to understand that this is one of the votes that you want to get on record.
Right.
So that you can confidently go back to your district and say, look, I'm fighting for you. And further, as we're trying to help candidates who are like-minded, who want to run and want to support things like lowering taxes and giving relief to hardworking families, you want to give them a vote to talk about their opponents. And for some reason, a roll call wasn't asked by my friend Representative Durant, and no leadership of the caucus in the building that moment asked for a roll call. It was a little surprising to see that happen.
And you weren't there. You were doing it by Zoom.
So I was doing the remote, right. So I wasn't in the chamber at the moment, and by the time I tried to do this remote, I think part of the reason the remote was put into place is to stop people like me from getting these roll calls. So the delay, they moved on so fast purposely that remotely I couldn't get the roll call request.
But usually it's tradition or it's customary for when you introduce an amendment before or after you make your comments about the amendment, you say afterwards I would Mr. Speaker, I would ask for a roll call on the A's and nays, right? I mean, that's standard procedure.
That's standard 101 procedure. And so why that happened was curious. I don't want to speak for my colleagues, but it should have been a no-brainer that this was a roll call opportunity. I've read some comments that, oh, this could be done in another vehicle, and there was some satisfaction with that, but I'm not satisfied with that. This is something we should be acting on very quickly. And the reality is this: if the leadership of the House, the Democratic leadership, wanted to do this, even if there was a technical flaw in how the amendment was written, they could have fixed it on the spot like they do with every other amendment, and they could have got it done. So, lest you hear the talking points it technically wasn't written correctly, or the funds weren't designated properly, it could have been done if there was desire to do it. And the reality is that the Democrats didn't want to do it. They did not want to provide relief to the commuters in the Commonwealth, and they're absolutely wrong. Families are dying for it. They're calling for it. They need the help, and with a surplus, Howie, of $3.3 billion already this fiscal year. And by the way, we go through the end of June. We already have over $3 billion surplus. The Democrats still don't want to give relief to the hardworking families of the Commonwealth. It is absolutely stunning.
And so what they do is, to get operating cash, they sell bonds. And to make the bonds saleable at a fairly decent rate of interest, they say they need a revenue stream. And that's what the gas tax is. But as you say, they get $800 million from the gas tax, and they're running a surplus of at least four times. Some people say it's more than that, but at least four times. So it doesn't matter if you lost, and they're not losing it for the whole year. They're just losing it because we're already more than halfway into the year as it is. So they're not going to lose all that money. It's not going to affect any revenue streams. They just want to keep the hackerama going. And it's just disgraceful that the Republicans allowed it to go on. What did Charlie Baker's administration have to say about this? As if I didn't know.
Well, I've only heard this secondhand, so I'd like to make that clear. But I was told that the Baker administration's Secretary of A&F or somebody in A&F had concerns with how the amendment was written, and that it was open ended and had some
good. I wish it were open ended.
Right. Well. The reality is, all it takes is, a few minutes, and they could have made the technical corrections if the will was to do that. Right. They could have designated the money out of the surplus. They could have designated it into the trust fund. There was absolute solutions. There was just no will to do it. And so I have no patience for the talking points of the technical ramifications. We could have moved the money. They didn't want to do it. End of story. And it's too bad the Republican caucus was there to try to support the taxpayers and the commuters, and unfortunately the Democrats just continue to stop these common sense things.
And here you have a situation where more than a couple of weeks ago, a bunch of embattled U.S. Democrat senators, including Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire, Mark Kelly from Arizona, they said that they introduced a resolution to suspend the federal gas tax. And just earlier this week, six Democrat governors, including two of whom are in very tight reelection races, also came out for suspending the federal gas tax, which is 18 cents. And yet, the Republican legislators in Massachusetts won't go along with giving a break to the burdened, overburdened taxpayers and motorists of Massachusetts. It's disgraceful.
Yeah, you know, I would say this, Howie. There was absolutely, there was absolutely a flaw in the way that the Republicans handled the amendments. But I will say, I feel confident that the caucus is absolutely supportive of going ahead and supporting the idea. Why they didn't get the roll call, you know, that's where I think there is some concern. But I think the reality is, the Democrats don't want to do this. The Republicans do. And they're just putting a stop to this, even though they're swimming in cash. It's like Scrooge McDuck swimming through his money.
It's a good way to put it. Scrooge McDuck. Yeah, and it wouldn't have passed anyway, but it would have put all these Democrats, it would have forced them on record. And some of them are in districts that Trump carried that are Republican-leaning districts with Democrat reps. This would put them on the spot. And that's what politics is all about, is getting roll. That's what a roll call vote is all about.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think that I think the Democrats in the State House do not fear a red wave hitting Massachusetts, and because they've been fortunate for so long that it hasn't. But I think that the voters of Massachusetts, as blue as Massachusetts is sick and tired of the direction of this country and the direction of the state, where we're swimming in cash, and yet the coffee table, the dining room table economics are hurting families, and they're sick and tired of it, and they're going to feel it at the ballot box this election cycle. I sure hope that red wave comes to Massachusetts, because we need balance in the State House so that this nonsense doesn't happen anymore.
All right, Representative Lombardo, we appreciate you being with us. That's Representative Mark Lombardo. He's a Republican from Billerica. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jim Lyons, the state Republican chairman, the crazed Democrat lawyer, gave $150,000 to Democrats and then threatened to bring a weapon to the state GOP headquarters in Woburn. He was in court today. We'll get a report on that when we come back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Years and years of profit-driven radio shows, whatever, turning the base into this angry, fearful, victimized group of people.
The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Oxford Communique. Subscribe today for just $49 to get monthly stock recommendations, strategies to protect your wealth, and much, much more. Subscribe today at onestockretirement.com, onestockretirement.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
What's the best explanation for inflation? It's transitory, inflation is good, corporate greed, Putin or Brandon did it.
Brandon did it.
94%.
Steady all through the day. All right, so last month we told you about a Democrat lawyer from Nahant, 72 years old. He's given over $150,000 to mostly national Democrat candidates, but also a lot of dough to Mara Healey, the AG who's running for governor. He came to the Republican State Committee headquarters in Woburn, which is on the fifth floor in an office park building, and went up to the fifth floor and wearing a mask went in and started berating and swearing and dropping the F-bomb on the locals, on the staffers. And when he was pushed out the door, he then threatened to come back with a weapon, according to the staffers. And so they found out who he was, and they took their complaints to the Woburn PD and the Middlesex County District Attorney's Office. And today the guy was in court for a probable cause hearing in front of the clerk magistrate. And joining us now on the line to talk about it is the chairman of the state Republican Party, Jim Lyons, who was there this morning. Jim, what happened with this guy, Hugh Sampson, the millionaire lawyer from Nahant, Democrat moonbat?
Yeah, Howie.
Yeah, what happened to him today?
So he got, we had two counts against him. One was for threat, and the other was for disorderly. And the disorderly charge was allowed to go forward to trial. And the threat charge, at least for right now, appears to be not part of the ongoing complaint. However, I have spoken to the DA's office, and you know, the fact that my staff was put into such fear, and the fact that this lunatic basically said that he went to the Mass GOP office because he wanted to find out if we were involved in the planning of the January 6th insurrection. And my staff obviously wasn't involved in the planning of the January 6th insurrection. He basically said, well, what if I came back with a weapon? So if that, we're hoping that the fact that that came out at the show cause hearing today will have some impact on other charges being filed against this total lunatic.
How did he behave today in the courtroom?
Well, at the end, he wanted to get up and kind of talk, and the clerk magistrate had to tell him to sit down and be quiet. What's really interesting, Howie, is that the defense attorney wanted to, at the end of her, at his closing remarks, said that we wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for the fact that we publicized that this crazy man came into our office. So the reason that he went there, Howie, was my fault. It was our fault. That is so consistent with what we're finding out, right? It's always someone else's fault. I mean, we know that the gas prices isn't Brandon's fault. It's somebody else's fault. And it really was remarkable. This man should be prosecuted for putting people in fear. He shouldn't have been allowed to walk on that second charge today. But we do think that we're going to go forward with hopefully some further charges. It's kind of like robbing a bank, getting caught, and then going in and saying, I'm sorry, here's the money back. Because that's basically what this guy said. He wanted to apologize.
Was this a hate crime or an insurrection or both?
I think it was both, Howie. There's no question it was both. You know,
how come no one but the Boston Herald reports about this crime?
Well, I mean, you saw today, Howie, that the woman from Boston, what's her name, Cannon, who was named Bostonian of the Year for staying by the Boston Globe after she called and said F the police. That's what the Boston Globe is. They're totally fake news. They're totally disciples and mouthpieces for the radical left, and that's why the Globe isn't talking about it.
Hey, one last question. Should there have been a roll call vote in the House where you served for many years yesterday on the proposal, the amendment to suspend the gasoline tax in the state? Should there have been a roll call vote?
Brad Jones should have demanded it. He should have demanded that people get put on record to support the taxpayers. There's $6 billion out there, and he's the minority leader, and he had an obligation to demand a roll call vote. But as usual, he didn't.
Why didn't he?
Because what he wanted to do was give cover to the Democrats, and it's time that people recognize that that's what happens on Beacon Hill. There are Republican leaders in there that give cover to the Democrats, and Jones did what Jones has done for 20 years. Protect the Democrats.
It turns out to be a good vote for the Democrats because now they can go back to their constituents and tell them whatever they want, you know, about how they voted on this amendment.
It's exactly right. It's why we're out recruiting candidates across the state. Candidates that want to stand up.
All right, Jim Lyons, thanks for being with us. He's the state party chairman for the Republicans, and the Democrat lawyer was bound over on one count for trial. Misdemeanor. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
People are saying, well, you can't trust any of them. But, I mean, in this case, it would have been the Republican self-interest to have a roll call vote. If you really want to elect more Republicans, you want to put the Democrats on record. And people are saying, well, don't trust those Democrat governors and senators. I don't trust them. I know what they're doing. They're making expedient political moves. I mean, it wasn't like the Republicans were going to win this vote, but it was just politically advantageous to put the Democrats on record. Even if you didn't knock out a single one of them who voted to keep the gas tax in effect when they didn't even need the money, you've at least proven what they are, which is totally tax fat and greed crazed hyenas. And why didn't they do that? Now they can go out and say, I'm telling you, again, think about it. They can go out. There was a vote on whether to repeal the gas tax, you know, the progressive caucus, you know, people with purple hair and never worked in their lives, worked for nonprofit. I voted to keep the tax on that voice vote. Then you go to the Citizens for Limited Taxation in your community, assuming you did. Probably not, but assuming you did. How did you vote? I voted to get rid of the gas tax. We didn't need that money. Why bail them out? They're in a jam. They're on the ropes. Even in Massachusetts, they're going to lose seats this year in Massachusetts, I'm sure. They don't think so, but they are. All right, I want to play, before we go back to the phone lines, I want to play this Kamala cut, the whole cut. This is when she starts laughing so inappropriately. And again, she's laughed many times inappropriately. We have the sound cut of Ted Cruz talking about how she's always cackling at the wrong time. But this could be the worst one ever. This was in Poland. Listen to this. This is the question and her response.
I wanted to ask you about some reporting that my colleague here in Poland noticed. He recently spoke with the mayor of the largest border town, who told him that the refugee system is essentially not set up for this, that it will collapse. It's an improvised system that can work for maybe 2 weeks, but not indefinitely. And I'm wondering what the United States is going to do more specifically to set up a permanent infrastructure. And relatedly, is the United States willing to make a specific allocation for Ukrainian refugees? And for President Duda, I wanted to know if you think, and if you asked the United States to specifically accept more refugees.
Okay. A friend in need is a friend indeed.
Okay, I'll go first. Okay, so this time.
She's cracking herself up. Could there possibly be any less appropriate response to that question? That was a legit question. You don't have to answer specifically, you know, about how many you're going to raise the refugee cap, or you've got, $5 billion in the next supplemental budget. You don't have to say anything like that. You just have to say the resources will be there. I mean, it's real basic stuff. A moderately intelligent college freshman could answer that question appropriately. But she is so bad. It's amazing how bad she is. 844-500-4242. Ugh, so it's just, oh man, I don't know what to say. I'll just take a call on someone who wants to talk about her. Anthony, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Anthony.
How you doing, Howie? She might have to go on some medicine. We had a friend who, anytime something bad happened, he would laugh, but he had like a problem. Like someone would be really sick, he would laugh. Someone would get in a car accident, he would laugh. Like this psychological disorder there. I think she might have to go on some meds because, I mean, this is just ridiculous. I've never seen anyone laugh at like stuff like this. You have this huge problem in the Ukraine and she's like laughing. I mean,
but, you know, they're supposed to be the party of compassion. And I don't know any sane person that would laugh in answering that kind of question.
No, I agree.
And if you have any kind of handlers, I know she changes her staff pretty much totally every couple of months because people just can't stand working for her. But can't she get somebody in there who just says, just stop laughing? That's the first step in your recovery is to stop laughing at every question. Take this seriously. You know, it's okay if somebody asks you, you know, what's your favorite ice cream or, you know, did you smoke weed in college? Which she blew that question, too, because she was putting people in jail and admitting she smoked weed. I mean, she has no sense of what's proper and when to keep her mouth shut. I've never seen a politician this bad. I mean, I've seen a lot of dumb politicians, but I've never seen anyone that's just this lost. I don't think anyone I've ever seen this lost. And she's the vice president of the United States. I understand why she was on the ticket. I understand why she moved up, going back to Willie Brown days. I get it. But you'd think somewhere along the line, the Peter principle would have kicked in. You know, that's the phrase, you know, the Peter principle is you're promoted up to your level of incompetence, and then you stay there because you can't move any higher because you can't do the job you've already got. I mean, you can't tell me she could have been a legitimately decent district attorney. And I know who the district attorney is in San Francisco now, a guy who, you know, won't prosecute anybody. But could she have been any worse than him? I don't think so. 844-500-4242. Kim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kim.
Hey, Howie. I'm a little behind the eight ball here. I was calling. You mentioned earlier about American Airlines and
yes,
I guess what, rehiring. Yep.
So yeah, they're just not. They're not going to make anybody. They're not going to enforce the mandate. Is what they're going to do. There was nothing in. I read the story in the Wall Street Journal this morning. There was nothing in about how, oh, we're going to rehire all the people we fired. There's no list. There's no number on how many people they fired or forced out. But they're not going to enforce the mandate anymore. It's like you know, never mind.
Well, you know how I guess most of the airlines, you know, quit serving alcohol because apparently made us all beasts and animals, right, fighting with the staff.
Right.
So most of the airlines have instituted serving alcohol. Well, I don't know if you've been on American in the past 6 months, as everybody's coming back online with that. American has decided to that apparently only first-class passengers can be trusted with alcohol. They are not serving for purchase alcohol to main cabin as of last week.
Really?
So that's why I've flown them through in the last 6 months. And I'd love to hear from any listeners if they've experienced the same thing. And when I asked the stewardess why, the first one I asked, because I had two legs flying home from Florida last week.
Yeah.
The first one shrugged her shoulders and said, not yet. And the next one on the second leg looked at me and said, why? And I said, yeah, why? Why aren't you serving for purchase to us main cabin passengers? And she said, well, do you want the real reason? I said, sure. And she said, well, because main cabin passengers are mean. And she tugged on her mask as if to say, because of the mask.
Are mean.
Yeah, we're just mean. We're lesser class citizens. We didn't pay the extra couple of bucks. Or maybe we had frequent flyer miles to get promoted to first class. We can't be trusted with alcohol. But first class can.
This cries out, Kim. Kim, this cries out for a class action suit. I'm surprised some lawyer isn't trolling already to get 10 people to who've been, you know, denied Chardonnay or Bud Lights or whatever in the main section of the plane. I agree. That's ridiculous. You gotta have one set of rules for everybody in whatever the whatever the venue is. Can you imagine that if they had a restaurant and you could only get a drink if you were in a private dining room, but not in the main dining room? Or, we had a version of that. Remember that? You couldn't get a drink in Massachusetts at a bar unless you ordered a full meal. You couldn't get an appetizer. And they would decide what was an appetizer. And like, for instance, chips or French fries were not a meal. But I always wondered, what if you had cheese fries? Or, you know, what's the break between an appetizer and a meal? And by the way, what does COVID know? Whether you're having potato chips or a filet mignon. That's ridiculous. 844-500-4242. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I mean, evening, I should say. Okay. I have a theory. Now, I've been studying this ever since he became president. And it seems as though, from the minute he became president, he's been letting the United States go downhill.
Yes.
Now, number one, he's been in cahoots with his son in China, making billions of dollars.
Yes. Okay?
Now, look at it. Just hear me out. I think he's making America go downhill He's using all the money we have. He's made the borders open, and he's saying they're closed. He's not really helping any other countries. He got out of the other, you know, if he only listened to the Marines and say, no soldier will be left behind.
Yeah.
We would have our men back.
I know, but, you know, he's incompetent. I'll give you an example of China, though. You know, you remember they announced that Hunter was going to divest himself from that $1 billion or whatever it was, hedge fund or investment vehicle, mutual fund, whatever they called it in China, that he was going to divest himself to avoid any sort of conflicts of interest. Well, apparently, even in China, they have to issue periodic reports, you know, saying who the officers are and where the investments are. And that company that he had a $1 billion investment in, or $1.5 billion, or the Chinese made a $1 billion investment in, he's still listed as an officer. And when we had Peter Schweitzer on to discuss his book Red Handed, about that, which, by the way, is number one on the New York Times bestseller list for the fifth consecutive week, and they hate that book. The New York Times hates that book, but they can't get around it. I asked Peter Schweitzer when we had him on the show, how much does Hunter stand to make when he divests himself, when that fund is liquidated or whatever? And he said at least $10 million, at least $10 million, and probably a lot more than that. So I mean, what a score that is. I mean, that puts Burisma in the rearview mirror. The Burisma was $1 million a year in monthly payments of $83,000, which, you know, that seems like a great deal to us. But I mean, it's small potatoes compared to what the Biden crime family is used to getting. Thanks for the call, John. We'll take a few more calls when we come back. 844-500-4242. Does this crazy stock market have you second guessing your strategy, or do you just want to know more? Well, I've got a suggestion for you. The Oxford Communique with Alexander Green. Many of Green's recommendations consistently outperform the S&P 500. That's because he follows very specific strategies in the trades he recommends. When you subscribe to the Oxford Communique, Alex's research will show you exactly where to grow and how to grow your wealth, protect what you have, manage risk, stay ahead of inflation, and keep your money out of the prying hands of the tax man. You can get started today for as little as $49 at onestockretirement.com. Subscribe and get digital and print subscriptions to the Oxford Communique, plus 4 bonus reports, including the Gone Fishing Portfolio. Today is the day to join the club, the Oxford Club, one of the world's largest financial publishers. Subscribe today and gain unlimited access to Alex's research, along with new stock recommendations every month. You owe it to yourself. Get the knowledge and strategies to grow your wealth. Join the Oxford Club today at onestockretirement.com. I'm Howie Carr.
Got hate mail?
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
Send it off to Grace at HowieCarrShow.com.
I can still teach you a few, kid. You're just a tin-horn thug and you always will be. You haven't got the guts to be anything else.
The Howie Carr Show.
Well, we do have some good news to report today, other than the fact that we have a new T-shirt out, which is a nice red T-shirt, Make Gas Cheap Again. It's got a picture of a gas pump on it, too. It's a nice-looking shirt. And you can pre-order it right now at HowieCarrShow.com. HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store and order your Make Gas Cheap Again T-shirt. And if you could see it on the website, but you can see Grace and I wearing it on Monday. We'll both be wearing it. But there is some other good news that as of today, 23,700 people thereabouts have died of COVID in Massachusetts. But the number of dead people in Massachusetts is going down to 20,000. Now, I don't know if the 3,700 are coming back. That would be a big development. But they are cutting the numbers. But it's totally on the level, you understand. Just like, you know, they had... they cut the number of people that died in nursing homes about a year ago. They just, one day there were like 5,000 dead in nursing homes. The next day it was 3,500. Now the death toll from COVID is going from 23,700 to 20,000. The state's epidemiologist said today, "We think this is an absolutely critical step in improving our understanding of who COVID has impacted most significantly during the pandemic." So in other words, these numbers were, the numbers were not on the level. But we're supposed to just swallow it and say, "Gosh, this is great news. This is great." Who is buying this? Who was buying this to begin with? They were, from the beginning, they were inflating. They were inflating the numbers because Trump was president and they wanted to get him out. Now Biden, Dementia Joe, is the president, and they're going to try to deflate the numbers to make Dementia Joe look better. I mean, that's, I don't care. Call me a conspiracy theorist, because every time the left says something is a conspiracy, it turns out it's true. And every time they say it's factual, which is what they're going to say about Charlie Parker changing the numbers again, I repeat, oh, that's science. Yeah, it is science. It's called political science. Political science. Let's play some of this. Speaking of people that are inappropriate, let's play a little bit of Pelosi. We didn't have a chance for much of this. But here's a little bit of Pelosi. She is just insane. Cut 18.
I was in school. I attended the inauguration of John F. Kennedy. Were any of you alive then?
Huh? Cut 19.
Did you not know that that Romney had sent around a letter with all the senators signing it that said we have to take the money out of state and local government? This is not... What may come as news to someone is that, yeah, when you subtract money, money is subtracted.
When you subtract money, money is subtracted. Can we quote you on that? Cut 16.
We came up with a bill. It's $1.5 trillion that will be spent this year. And there has never been a bill. Let me just be very clear. There has never been a bill that when it comes forward... And usually, well, it wasn't the dark of night. It was sometime last night. When it comes forward that somebody, I didn't get what I wanted in the bill. You're telling Noah about the flood. I didn't get what I wanted in the bill. So I say to my members, yeah, that's a negotiation, and that's the way it is. And look at what is in the bill.
She knew Noah? I knew she was old, but I didn't know she was Old Testament old. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.